Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to our show. You are on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for joining our program today. This is Enlighten Your Life, brought to you by Enlighten Life Ministries. Our mission is to encourage, empower, and enlighten women of all ages to have a purposeful life. I am Lou, and with me is Stephanie. We thank you once again for joining us today. Today our topic is, can you seriously date and be celibate in today's society? Now, today we have a special guest from Chicago, and her name is Tatiana Green. Tatiana writes for a website that is called, entitled Black and Married with Kids, but she also has a website and a blog. She also keeps up with her audience on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. She also periscopes, and she's very well known. She is a single lady, and she writes about being single, and she writes about the issues of dating and, of course, celibacy and sexual purity. So we're looking forward to having her on our show today. So, Tatiana, we're waiting for you to call in. But before we get started, you know, my previous shows, we've always talked about human trafficking, specifically sex trafficking. And I don't know exactly where you are, where you're listening from, but here in Atlanta, that's where we are broadcasting from. Here in Atlanta, we have a big issue with sex trafficking. It is very prevalent here. And if you know anyone, or if you know anyone who is in need of help, or if you may be out there listening just by chance on your telephone or on your electronic device, take this number down. And this number is actually from the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. They will be able to get you needed help and get you to a safe place. You want to find more information on human trafficking, just go on this website, and I think I have two archived posts that give information on the issue of human trafficking. So that hotline number is 1-888-373-7888. Once again, that number is 1-888-373-7888, and we will give that number out to you again. Now we're going to go ahead and get into our show, and we're going to discuss some things that we have done to lead up to this point, to where we are now, to talk about celibacy. I don't know if I gave the title, but the title of the show is Can You Seriously Date and Remain Celibate? And so, Stephanie, you want to share with us some responses? Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, let me give you our guest call-in number. It's 657-383-1490. If you have a question or a comment, you just press 1 on your phone. And we're going to start the broadcast by sharing responses from our poll. I have to admit I was a little disappointed with the low response I got from my Facebook friend, but I was told our topic is a little hard to talk about. But your responses are anonymous, and your calls are also, so please call in. I'll repeat the call-in number one more time. It's 657-383-1490, and you press 1 if you have a question or a comment. So our question, we actually got responses, a few responses that we, single person that responded said, yes, you can seriously date and remain celibate in this society. Here's a few of the comments we got. You have to be very creative as the relationship progresses to make sure you don't put yourself in intimate situations. Another person said, remaining celibate is a decision you have to make for yourself. It's a matter of self-control. You also have to let your person that you're dating know up front, immediately, that you are remaining celibate.
So we have to have a mutual agreement. Mm-hmm.
And another one says, I think you can, but you have to be committed to celibacy. And again, both parties have to be committed to the same thing.
Okay, I was hoping that we would get some no's, I mean, just for sake of, I think that these responses basically say the same thing, don't you think, Stephanie?
Yeah. But what about the guy we polled in the restaurant?
Oh, yeah. You want? Okay, so we were at this restaurant one day getting ready for the show. We've been preparing for this show since like forever, but it's, you know, it's all good. We're really excited about being there. But we asked him the question, can you seriously date in a society? Can you seriously date and remain celibate in today's society? And so I guess, how old was Stephanie? About 30s, his mid-30s, real, you know, real nice-looking guy. And so he said, well, you know, it just depends on what you want. He said, if you want a serious relationship with a lady, then, yeah, it's worth waiting for. He said, but, you know, if you don't want a serious relationship, you know, if y'all just hanging out, then, you know, why not? So we were like, oh, okay. And, you know, he just really, really felt like that was well, that, you know, that was the way that he felt. I don't want to be judgmental or anything about that. But, you know, this is, and not doing my reading and my research on this topic, it seems to be, to me, with, and I think I wrote this in the summary of this broadcast, that with all of the television and the movies and the music and the videos, you know, sex is promoted, and it's almost like, you know, you can throw caution to the wind. It's okay, you know, to have sex with different people. You know, a lot of people aren't in committed relationships now, and there's one show on television that I really don't like. Can I say what it is?
Yes.
Okay, it's called, and it's escaping me now, but it's about this young lady who has this really, really nice job. Oh, I cannot think of the name of the show. Come on, you got to help me. Is it Finding Sarah Jane? Yes, okay. Well, you know, I just think that, and I'm glad, I'm real happy for her, okay? I'm glad that she has a nice job, a nice house, a nice car. She wears nice clothes. I'm happy she can buy $8,000 pocketbook. You know, I'm really, really happy for her that she's got it like that. However, I think that her role is a very promiscuous. And when, you know, usually when we watch programs, and there are some programs that I know I watch that people may not agree with, but when we're tangled up in a lot of these shows, that come on TV, I think that, you know, that's what we do. You know, that's what we identify with. So, you know, I just think that when you look at that and the ratings that show has, you know, it's just saying that, yeah, this is the thing to do. It's okay. It's all right. Everybody else does it. But we're here to look at dating. This article says, keeping your cookies in the jar, you know, being sexual pure until you're married. We're looking at that, and we know that there are some young ladies and some young men, old ladies, young men, middle-aged men and women. They struggle with that because that's something that they really, really want to do. But because both parties don't agree, sometimes it's kind of difficult, and people end up giving in, and it's just one big old mess. So, you know, that's the way I look at it.
So what is your definition of celibacy? I guess we should have asked that first, make sure we're on the same page.
It would be nice if we had callers to call in and share their thoughts with us and let us hear what their definition of celibacy is. But, you know, I looked up the word celibacy in the Webster's Third New International Dictionary. It was Harper, written in 1993, and it states that the state of not having a spouse, y'all hear that? The state of not having a spouse. Single life abstention from sexual intercourse. Single life. Okay, so Stephanie and I were talking the other day, and we were laughing because we were, I think someone told her husband that, you know, oh, what did he say, Stephanie?
Yeah.
I want you to tell that story.
You know, a friend of mine said, I've been celibate for 5 years. And my husband said, no, you haven't, because you haven't had a boyfriend in 5 years. So that's not celibacy. That's just, you know, and we both agree. We're talking about being celibate in a relationship, not just not abstaining, but you don't have a partner, not just a boy, you know, but because men, we know that there are some men that may are trying to be celibate also. Looks like
Tatiana, if that's you on the phone, can you please press the number 1 on your keypad?
708. Great.
Okay, great. Okay. So here comes our guest, Tatiana.
Yes. Hi, ladies. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, how beautiful. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Okay, we were just talking about some results that we got from our poll that we put out. But before we go into that, we're going to introduce you to the show, okay? So, we have our guest speaker today. Her name is Tatiana Green, and she is an author, and she writes for, tell us the website you write for, Tatiana.
I have my own blog site called blissforsingles.com, and I also write for blackandmarriedwithkids.com.
Yes, okay. So that's where we pull your titles, your articles up from. And we thought that they were very interesting and that they would we would have some really good dialogue with you. And tell us where are you right now? Where do you live?
I currently live in the city of Chicago, the wonderful, complex, beautiful city of Chicago. On the west side.
I love Chicago. I've been there a couple of times. I think I was there during the festival, the food festival.
Oh, yeah.
What is it called?
Taste of Chicago.
That's
great.
There were so many people there. But we thank you so much for joining us today. Like I told you, guys, we have been, Tatiana and I have been communicating. We have not met each other face-to-face, but we've been communicating by instant messaging, thank God, for technology. And when we called her at the last minute, she agreed to come on our show, and I told her we were novices. So, Tatiana, we just thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate you being here. Before we get into the results that we have from our poll, Stephanie just – oh, and this is my co-host, Stephanie.
Yeah,
and I'm Lucretia. So Stephanie went over some of the statistics that we received, and so she's going to go back over them for you.
Okay. Everyone that responded, Tatiana, said yes, seriously date and remain celibate. Some of the comments were you have to be very creative as the relationship progresses to make sure you don't put yourself in intimate situations. Another comment, remaining celibate is a decision you have to make for yourself. It's a matter of self-control. And then, of course, both parties have to be committed to that purpose.
What do you think about those?
I absolutely agree. You have a great audience, and they have their head on their shoulders for real, because a lot of us get caught up in, you know, emotions and feelings, and those can really get in the way when we're trying to basically do God's will with dating and courting. So they have the right steps to really do this thing with living celibate and actually practicing it when you're in a dating situation. Because realistically, we can say all day that, oh, I'm saving myself, or I'm being celibate, or I'm practicing abstinence. But it's totally different when you're actually dating, when you're in a relationship. when you're engaged and everybody expects you to be doing something, but you're not, and you're trying to hold on, and the Lord is holding you. So,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. My question, as you were saying that, and we're all Christians on this line, but what about those people who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who do not live by the Word? How do we reach them? That's one reason. What the show is to reach everyone, because we know that there are a lot of Christians out there who are not selfish.
Right.
And there are a lot of non-Christians out there who are not, and there may be some non-Christians who are, you know, for their personal reasons. But what do you say about those Christians who are, you know, in the Word, who do love the Lord, but they are not, they are not practicing celibacy in their relationship? Do you have any advice for that?
Well, it depends on the person. It depends if you are, like, their friend or if you're actually in a dating relationship. So which way did you want to go with that?
Dating relationship. Because right before you got on, we mentioned that I don't believe celibacy is if you are not dating. You know, I mean, it's something to say, I haven't had sex in 5 years, but you don't have a boyfriend. You know, could
right.
you say that? We're trying to, you know, how can you date and truly be celibate? I believe you can. I mean, I was able to before I got married. I believe you can. It was not easy, but you can.
Absolutely, I agree. It's definitely possible to remain celibate and date. And if you end up and meeting someone who you're interested in, and they may be saved, but they're not really practicing abstinence or celibacy, and they may be curious, you can have an open conversation. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all adults here, and we have to make adult decisions. God gives us free will, so if you want to participate in the things that, you know, that are outside of God's will, you got to deal with those consequences, and that's the reality of the situation. So, it also depends if you want to participate with that person. Now, we have to make decisions for the betterment of our lives, like seeking your soul salvation, right? So you have to go forward with, well, I don't think God would want me to compromise on this just because the person who's interested in me came into my life. We have to consider what it means to really be equally yoked, especially in that aspect. Because it speaks a lot to the person's character, where they are maturity-wise in their spiritual walk, and how they even value themselves. And I think to prevent from it becoming one of those conversations where you can come off as judging the person you're dating, you can basically talk about openly. Like, we all dealt with sexual sin in some kind of way. Like, we're all not, you know, we've all fallen short in some way. So it's like, it depends on how sensitive you want to get there or talk about it, but I would recommend talking about how you value yourself. How do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself in a few years from now, et cetera, et cetera. So talking about how you value yourself also talks about keeping up with God's decrees, his commands, like what he tells us to do. Like Romans 12:1 says to not be like the world, but to live as a holy sacrifice unto God. That means making sure that you do your part as keeping your body, your mind, your heart pure in all aspects, especially in terms of sexual immorality, because that's a pretty big deal from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God is not playing with that, and he don't want his believers, his children, to play around with that either.
Yeah, I agree. And that was one question that I had down, but you think that a lot of us compromise, and you did say that, it's worth compromising. But at the same token, what you said also is it's depending on how you see yourself. And I believe I read that in one of your articles. You know, how do you portray yourself? You know, what do you, how do you value yourself? And I think that that is important to know, even, you know, before you even think about getting into a relationship, you know, what is it that you want? Because
right.
you can get emotionally tangled up in someone, in one of your articles was talking about, you know, in looks and someone's voice, you know, someone's appearance, which that is important to us, but that's just the outside, you know, and our temples, and that is important. And, you know, it can be difficult because before you came on, we were talking about the different influences in this world today that makes it seem like everybody else is doing it. You know, it's okay. So, you know, a lot of people, I think, worry about the image that they're betraying or worrying about being alone, you know, and those are some mountains that we have to be able to, you know, knock down and make them, you know, level ground and be able to walk on them and, you know, have control of our emotions. So it is very important of who you think you are and what it is that you want out of that relationship. Stephanie? Yeah. So we also, did you want to elaborate a little bit more on that, what I just said?
Yeah, definitely. I agree with what you're saying, like valuing ourselves and also honoring God with our bodies, honoring God with ourselves. Like Christ died for us. He died for our sins. He died for the stuff we did before we got saved. He died for the stuff we did after we got saved. He died for the stuff we're going to do tomorrow. So what better way to give your thanks, to honor God, your creator, your father, who you claim to be your everything, by submitting yourself in your flesh and letting him know, I want to live for you. This is how I want to live holy, like you told me to be holy in your word. So here's what I'm going to do, and I need your help. I think another reason why we get in trouble and we try to do the celibacy thing on our own, like this is not an alone kind of journey. You need God. You need the Holy Spirit. You need Jesus. You need all three in one with you in this walk because the struggle is real. And the enemy is very cunning. He knows exactly what you like, and he'll send that very thing to you, and you'll think it's the one, and then that person will say something to chip at your standards to make you compromise. Been there, done that, wore the shirt, threw the shirt away, okay? So we have to get to a point where we have to be steadfast and know what God has told us to do, as well as operate in your purpose. If you know your purpose, it could be in anything. Like, if you know your purpose is in God, you're not going to be so willing to compromise that. Like, we hear so many stories or accounts in the Bible, so many testimonies of people sacrificing certain things and forfeiting other things. Like David, for example, when he had his affair with Bathsheba, he could have had a totally different outcome in his life if he didn't commit adultery or if he didn't steal somebody's wife and then kill her husband. Like, a whole bunch of stuff probably would have prevented if he just remembered his purpose instead of going after his flesh.
Yes. His son died because of that, you know.
Exactly,
We are a Christian, so we hear you 100%. But one young lady that was not, she ended up being celibate because she said, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of having sex with men that ended up badly. She did not do it because she felt her body was a temple, you know. How would we reach someone like that? What would be an advice to say, you know, that's great that you stopped? But do you know how precious you are? I mean, you know, what would you say to someone that just didn't do it because they honor God? They did it because they were sick of being used. They finally saw that they were being used.
I agree. I think it goes along with what you just said. How do you see yourself? Do you know your worth as a woman? And then to the men, do you know your worth as a man? Because we can bring up, you know, the science to back it up, that, you know, DNA and hormones and all that stuff to explain why we do the things that we do. But at the end of the day, you have a decision, and a lot of us tend to shy away from the consequences of the decisions that we make. You are the one who decides if you're going to lay down with somebody or not. You can't blame them if they got what they wanted out of it and you didn't. You have to make that decision for what's best for you. And if
that means... That was good. Yeah. We still need callers to call in, y'all. We need you guys to call in at 657-383-1490. We have an expert on singles, dating, celibacy, sexual purity. Y'all need to call in and ask some questions. Now we got we still have about 30 minutes, and Tatiana has using her lunch break to be here with us and give us some really, really good advice.
Which we
so good.
Truly, truly appreciate.
Yes.
Yeah, no problem.
So can you help? Let's help some of our sisters out. And can you tell us some qualities of what should we look for, you know, in a man? What should we look for in a mate? You know, I know I pray with women about, you know, I want my husband. I've been waiting so long for my husband. You know, so all I can do is pray with them and tell them to be patient. You know, God hears your prayers, but He may be getting you prepared. He may not be ready to send you that person yet. And sometimes we might have in our mind a certain way we want a person to look and a certain way we want a person to be. But we might have to tweak that, you know, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of a person. So can you just give our audience some pointers on, you know, a good man? A good man, as we see a good man, as far as in God's eyes.
Absolutely. I actually wrote a blog post about that for blackandmarriedwithkids.com around this time last year, and it was called 5 Irresistible Qualities Women Desire in a Christian Man.
Amen.
There's a difference between a man of the world and a man of God. And you can tell the difference if you spent enough time in the Lord's presence. So let's start the basis right there. For the women, I had to learn this myself, and I'm still there. For women who really desire a man of God, they need to become the best woman of God they can be. That means that they're not looking for a husband. They're not looking for a man. They're not looking for their Boaz. They're patiently waiting, but at the same time, they're actively waiting. And we can talk about that another time because you all wanted to ask about the qualities that a man should have. But I just wanted to put that basis there first, that if you want a Christian man, you should be a Christian woman in every aspect of the word. So, or at least trying, or at least working on it, because we all work in progress. We have not arrived, you know what I'm saying? But at least be working on it. And be willing to be obedient to what God says. So are you ready, ladies? I'm ready to share with you. One of the first things is humility. Mm-hmm. And we can get that just a man who is willing to acknowledge God first and not, like, look to himself or look to his friends or for advice and things like that. Like, he's willing to submit to God because one of the biggest things that we as women in the body of Christ have debate about is the topic of submission. It's hard for women to submit to a man who's not submitted to God, point blank, period. I'm sorry, I can't submit to you if you're not willing to submit to God, because I had to submit to you as unto God, as the word says, and how am I supposed to follow you if you're not following him? Like, that's not going to work, ever.
Right.
And we're both going to be ending up disappointed.
Before you go on, and that's good, I was just thinking about a conversation I had with a young man, and he told me, he said, what's wrong with you women is y'all are not submissive. And I'm like, wait a minute, you can't start off like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Number one, you're not my husband. And number two, you need to show me that you are worth being submitted to. So what you're saying,
exactly,
is if you're not following God, then why am I going to follow you? You know, and that would be the first thing to come out of your mouth. You know I'm going the other way.
Because you're not submissive, yeah.
Right.
Or you women aren't submissive.
You women aren't submissive. Okay. I just had to get that in.
Yeah, that's why we have so much strife between men and women, because we start off our conversations like that, like very accusatory, like y'all don't do this or y'all don't do enough of this. I'm like, okay, so automatically our flesh is going to be defensive. I'm like, wait a minute, a lot of us do this. It's y'all, you know, and then you go into this big old debate thing. So, yes, they should be humble enough to acknowledge that they are human beings and they need help, and that they don't have so much pride that they are not willing to go to you, too, because especially if you are the wife, because wives are a very, very close tied to wisdom that's described in the book of Proverbs. If you notice, like, in Proverbs 31, you see, like, all the characteristics that woman has. There's a lot of reflective or similar characteristics that describes wisdom in the other books of Proverbs. So that's a good study if you want to look into that. But
mm-hmm.
your husband or the man that you're involved with, he should be able to talk to you and ask you what you think and be humble enough to go to you. You should be able to submit to each other, in essence, because that's what we're called to do, submit to each other, build each other up, make each other more like Christ. So if he's not, you know, if he's not trying to hear you, or he's not trying to go to pastor, or he's not trying to go to premarital counseling, he's not trying to submit to any authority, you have a problem with that particular guy. You might need to back it up.
That's right. Don't even get involved. It's hard enough when you're both Christians. So
exactly.
That baffles me. That why would you do that? Why would you get involved with someone that, you know, you're not like-minded?
Exactly. And that leads to the second point, which is about self-control, which is what we were talking about today in the show, about celibacy, about saving yourself. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, and you need to see how they exercise that fruit of the Spirit. Not literally like to the point where, oh, we're in the situation where it can be really tempting, and or you can come over my house, I'll go over your house or something, and we're on the couch and we're really close. You don't have to see the fruit of self-control in that circumstance. You don't have to go that far.
You can talk about it.
You can certainly talk about what you've been through. You can, because it's your testimony, talk about what you've been through, what you dealt with, as long as you're comfortable sharing that information, as well as watch them, observe them. Don't get so emotionally wrapped up that you miss sight of what they're doing, because what they start off with, they should be pretty consistent with, unless they're lying. But, you know, if they have trouble, you know, controlling how they do their finances or how they pay their bills or how they eat, little things like that can really reflect their whole motive or self-control. It's attractive to hear a single man is waiting because he realizes his worth and he's not just there to share his gift with any and everyone. So he should also be willing to talk about it openly. You know, if he's willing to talk about his, you know, his salvation, his walk with God, he should be able to talk about, hey, I'm saving myself, or, you know, or I'm a virgin and I'm waiting till marriage, which is quote-unquote rare nowadays, but it's not impossible either. So definitely something to look into.
And
did you all have anything else for that?
Yeah, I was going to say, with that self-control, do you think that that's a good way to find out about a person in dating? And I don't mean one-on-one dating, but like in group dating. You can really tell about a person if you go out, you know, in groups. What do you think?
I think a lot of younger people do that. Like, well, I'm not even young anymore. Like, maybe even between, like, 20 and 28. I know my son does a lot of group dating. He's 28.
And I think that will really show some type of self-control. You know, you're just not one-on-one with that person, but you see how they interact with all of those points that you made. You can also get to see how they interact around other people, even around their family, you know, their family members. So would you say that would fit in with self-control as well?
Absolutely. Group dating, if that's what you're doing, that's fine because you want other people to see how he behaves as well, because you might have close friends who can discern really well or judge good character, and they may be able to see, well, maybe, you know, I noticed that he was doing this, not to say anything negative against him, but this is what I noticed, you know, because sometimes we see one thing, but your friends might see another thing. So bring them around godly counsel, people who you trust that can observe his behavior too, that way, and observe you all together to see if there's anything funny. Another quality that I wrote about was leadership.
Hmm.
He talked about how men should be leaders in the household, not just barbarians or tyrants that want to run everything because they're a man, but they actually step up to the plate of what leadership is. I think women and men could both be leaders, but you have to be leaders in your lane. You can't be trying to, like, go over in someone else's lane and do what they're supposed to do when you're called to do this. And that's also something in the body of Christ. Like, we all have a role to play, and we can't do everything. That's why we need each other. That's why husbands need wives and wives need husbands. So as far as leadership is concerned, is he willing to step up and serve in the way that he's supposed to as a man of God, as a husband? Because there's leadership qualities that men have in Ephesians 5, to treat their wives like Christ treats the church, to purify them, to cleanse them, to get them ready for, you know, heaven, eternity. You don't want to just have a guy who's just there in your life and he's just not bettering you. You want him to make you more like God or make you more like Christ in character, and vice versa. You should be willing to do the same thing. And the servant leadership factor, that's one of the most memorable things that the world takes about Jesus' character, because they kind of understand Jesus in that aspect of servant leadership. Like, oh, yeah, he had a squad of disciples, and he was doing all this cool stuff for people. Like, no, he was laying down the foundation of how you really are supposed to be a leader, how you serve first, how you humble yourself and serve others before yourself. I don't know about y'all, like, you got to love a selfless man who's willing to lay down his life for you and his pride and lead you in the way that God leads both of you all as a couple.
Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, in the beginning, God made mankind. And we all have the Spirit of God, you know, and we respect others. God is better than the other, but at the same time, you know, women, you need to let these men be men. You know what I mean? Because a lot of us want to take over and make all the decisions. And then at the same time, a lot of men want to do everything. Because I remember one time my pastor said that he was just a controller. You know, he wanted to buy the house. He wanted to decorate the house. He wanted to buy the
Oh, wow.
He wanted to do it all. And so he realized that, you know, we are mankind. And it's not the fact that, you know, we're going to go out there and split logs and chop down trees. Well, some of us women can. Probably back in the day during my grandma's time, you know, they could. But, you know, like you said, we have roles that we are supposed to play. And I think that, and I believe that those roles also have to do with submission, you know, and respectful submission. So that's how I see that that leadership. So we all have a role in the leadership, and Jesus was a perfect example of a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Jesus was, like, he's our ideal example for everything because he was on earth, yet he did not sin. So one of the things that is also an irresistible quality that Christian men have that women just adore and love is a man with a solid prayer life. Like, Jesus had a really solid prayer life. He knew when it was time to steal away and spend one-on-one time with the Father. He knew how important it was, and he made it a priority. And he didn't just pray a traditional prayer or mumble it under his breath. He spoke it out loud. He talked to God. He communed with God. And he took that time away to be with him. I think that's important because when you enter a marriage covenant, especially if it's God ordained, the enemy, the devil, will throw everything at your relationship because he despises marriage because marriage brings forth children and more children and just makes everything, you know, a little more better in the kingdom. So, of course, the enemy doesn't want that. So he's going to throw everything at your relationship. So you can't just have one person in there praying. You should have, like, both the man and the woman praying together or separate. And he should have his own prayer life. So definitely recommend that quality in a man. We have some examples like Daniel, David, Jesus, and many others in the Word that pretty much break it down like, yeah, it's okay for a man to pray and have more than a two-second prayer, like, you know. So check his prayer life. It takes initiative. That's even more beneficial for you. I remember I went on a date with a Christian guy, and we got in the car, and he went to pray before we left on the date. So I thought that was really cool that he did that, that he took initiative to pray, and it made me think that, yes, he keeps God a priority. So he even acknowledges him in the car ride, because sometimes we just hop in the car and do whatever. But he wanted to take that time to say a prayer before we even started our evening. So I definitely respected that and noticed that.
Yeah, and then I just got to say, a family that prays together stays. Absolutely.
Amen.
And then you have one more?
Yes, I have one more. It's a teachable spirit. Again, this kind of relates to the humility thing, but this is more to the issue of pride that men have. There's I like to call it man pride. That's a whole other type of pride that, you know, that we might deal with when it comes to the opposite sex as women. So sometimes their man pride will keep them from, you know, like I said before, asking us questions or seeking advice or counsel. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like a man who knows how to sit under authority and learn the truth and know how to dissect the truth as well. Like, he's not just taking anything. He's actually discerning it. He's paying attention. He's willing to teach it to other people as well. Like, show me something. Teach me something. Stimulate me mentally before you try to get anything else from me as a man. So we definitely need a man who's intelligent but also wise. And so that wisdom comes from being able to sit down and be taught by your one-on-one time with the Lord, because we've seen that in Proverbs as well. Get that knowledge, store it up on the tablets of your heart, remember it, go over it, study, show yourself approved. If you don't have a teachable spirit, you don't want to go to church. You don't want to learn. You don't want to go to Bible study. You don't want to read the Bible. You don't, because you think you know everything. And so that's a man you can't really deal with, because it's hard to talk to him.
Yeah.
So a man with a teachable spirit definitely up there on the list.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you do workshops? For not even teens, but like maybe between 16 and 25, have you had that opportunity?
I have spoken with young girls before for another organization that I was called to participate with, but I'm part of New Woman Ministries, and we're based in Chicago as well, and we'll be starting a young girls or teen girls group in which we'll be mentoring them, talking to them, helping prepare them for adulthood basically and womanhood without compromising themselves. Because so many young girls are out here and they're trying to be adults and they don't know what they're getting themselves into. They don't know what it means to be a woman of God, or they may not know Christ themselves. So we want to kind of bring them in and mentor them in that way. So it's developing.
That's wonderful, because you have a wonderful spirit. And, I mean, if you don't mind, you can give me an age range. How old are you? It's so refreshing. It sounds like to hear a young lady talking like this.
I get that a lot, that I'm younger than my age. I'm 29, and I'll be 30 in October, and I'm actually writing a book about that. So it's exciting. This is my first book, so I'm happy that you all said author, because I'm like, yay, it's like speaking it in the atmosphere. yes, it's called Journey to 30, and it's for women who are, yes, it's for women who are like in their 20s or maybe even in their 30s, and they're questioning, why don't they have this or that? Why aren't they married at the age of 30? Because sometimes women have that deadline in their heads for that age, like I did. But when it doesn't happen, they just don't know what to do. Do you give up?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I had that deadline. I sure did. I had that deadline. I thought at 30, oh, my God, I don't want to be 30 years old. I'll be old maid. And I didn't get married until I was 42. And I'm so thankful.
Wow.
I would have been divorced 50 times by
now.
I know. You won't have to wait till 42, baby. But I'm just saying, you know, I thought that. I thought, oh, my God. And just like you said, once I started focusing on me, I didn't even think about that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tatiana, that's a good segue. We want to ask you a real important question. Stephanie's mm-hmm. holding it down. I think we need to ask you, but before we do that, what inspired you to write about single life?
Well, my testimony goes back to when I was a child. My parents, I always loved love anyway. I'm just like that kind of lovey child. But when my parents divorced, I was around age 10, and that was one of the most devastating things that happened in my life, because there was a lot of drama, a lot of chaos that was around that whole season, where there was infidelity, there was just a lot of recklessness on the parents' behalf. And so not to judge them or anything, because they knew only what they knew. So as a child, I was watching that, and I was really hurt because, of course, any child would want their family to stay together. It was me and my brother at the time. And so that was really devastating for me, to the point that I even wanted to go into psychology, to study why families break up and stuff like that. I had no idea that God was using me and my experience for something else. So in 2008, I was just in my room minding my business, and God just dropped this idea for a singles magazine, okay, for the urban faith community, meaning that African Americans have a higher rate of divorce, higher rate of single parent homes. And that is an issue that I hold dearly as well, because I'm African-American, Haitian-American, and I believe that is one of the things that really holds us back as a culture from really excelling in life, because we have so many spiritual components to why things are the way they are. We have some historical socioeconomic factors that are related to why we are where we are. So I want to approach that with the magazine. And so fast forward to 2012, I started it off as a blog, and I've been blogging ever since. And I haven't stopped because I believe in the mission. And several people have called it a ministry. I'm not ordained at all. I just am really passionate, enthusiastic about singles, about making sure that they become the best person that they be before they enter marriage, so they will have successful marriage relationships, and not just get into a relationship or a marriage and then give up like their parents may have before or for whatever reason. So it's to really combat the enemy's tactic to destroy families in the urban faith community. Not to say that this advice is not for everybody. It can be if you want to, but it's definitely geared towards that community because we need it.
Right. Yeah.
That's great. But tell us how the audience can follow you. I was really hoping we would have telephone calls in, but I want you to share with the listening audience how they can follow you. And we are definitely going to call you back to talk some more about this issue. And also, I don't know how far along you are with your book, but we want you to come back and tell us, about your book and share some more things with us that you have. That have been revealed to you and things that you've written and that you've discovered through your blog. So if you don't mind sharing with the audience how they can follow you.
Okay, absolutely. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now Snapchat. So for my personal platform, yes, Snapchat is, I had to eventually come around to it. But it's T for Trendsetta. That's T-F-O-R, Trendsetta, S-E-T-T-A. Also, blissforsingles.com is my website where I post my blogs. And you can find links to my other blog sites as well. I write for a couple other blogs besides blackandmarriedwithkids.com, which they're amazing. I also write for cultureandgod.com and the wirehanger by winnie.com.
Okay.
So I got a little network going on in Atlanta, in St. Louis, and in New Jersey. New York is awesome.
Great.
That's great. And we can just type your name into the search, right? Because I think I typed your name into the search and it came up.
Yeah, that's right. You can Google blissforsingles.com or you can Google my name and it should bring up everything about me, about my writing and stuff like that. And if people want information on the book, they can just go to bit.ly/journey-to-30. It's journey, T-O, the number 30.
Okay. Okay, so we have a few more minutes. And this question, Stephanie said yesterday, we're going to have to bring this up. Mm-hmm. So, with the issue of celibacy and sexual purity, the question that a lot of people ask and they have a dilemma with is masturbation. So what is your thought about masturbation, celibacy, and sexual purity? And before you say that, I know that even some married couples, they masturbate. Mm. So, is masturbation, what do you think about it?
Yeah.
In your opinion, what do you think about masturbation, particularly with the single man, single woman?
Definitely understand, and that's a good question because we as a church, we really do need to talk about these real issues. Okay, I've dealt with that before personally, and because I battled with lust and perversion, so it manifested into that. So I got to a point where I was convicted about the act, and I had to stop what I was doing and pray for deliverance. So you have, so to me, it is a manifestation of that lust, of that perversion, or some other thing related to sexual immorality. I don't know in the aspects of marriage, and I don't think it would be, I don't know. So I wouldn't know about the married part, but as a single, I think you're kind of cheating if you do that because God always provides a way of escape. You don't have to go that route and pleasure yourself, okay, to meet a quote-unquote natural need. Ask God to tell you to put you to sleep, or you go outside, or go run on the treadmill or something. Do something more active and get your mind off of that, because what's going on in our mind and what's going on in our heart will then come out of our mouths. Will reflect what we do with our actions. So, if you have that thought, that temptation to do it, I would say backtrack and think about the triggers. What really made you want to do that? What made you think about that? Was it that certain song that you heard on the radio that you thought you was okay listening to? Was it that certain movie that you saw with your friends and now you're at home by yourself and you feel some kind of way? We need to call this thing out as it is. I don't believe it's okay. And also, let's be clear that sexual sin is, we can say that sin is sin, but sexual sin has a lot of consequences. And if you do that against yourself, you're sinning against yourself. That's in the Bible as well. It doesn't necessarily say anything about masturbation, but I think that where your thoughts and your heart are located with that act, it can very well be a sin. So if you feel like you can't go to Jesus and talk to him before you do any of this, you might be a little shameful or maybe a little embarrassed about the act, and that's a reason, a good reason not to do it at all.
That's right.
Like I said, I've been there, done that. It's not something you want to get into. You don't want to compromise yourself because you're single and you're handling things like, you know, you can't do it on your own. That's where you really need to call on the Lord to help you.
You feel that?
In whatever way that means.
Oh,
even
it,
if you put like.
Mhm. Okay, we lost you, Tatiana.
It says question.
Can you hear me?
Well, I don't know what happened, but we certainly enjoyed you being on the show. We will call you back. We have like
3 minutes.
A little over 3 minutes. If you can call back in, if you know, please do. If not, we will. We'll get back in touch with you. So, thank you so much again for joining us. That kind of threw me off a little bit. Well, we know how the cell tower can drop phone calls. So, thank you once again for your time, for your effort. It says that you would drop. So, Tatiana, thank you so much. We will be getting back in touch with you.
We sure will.
And I want to just hand out that number again, that hotline number. Stephanie, do you have it? Mm-hmm. For the human trafficking? Mm-hmm.
It's
888-373-7888.
Tatiana,
you there?
I'm back, ladies. I'm back.
Okay, so once again, the number for human trafficking, again, is
888. 373-78.
Tatiana?
Yes, can you hear me?
Just hit one, and then you can come on.
Join us again.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Join us again.
Okay.
So, we really had a wonderful discussion today.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed because we didn't have any callers.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully you were listening and hopefully you were encouraged and enlightened and empowered in some type of way. Hopefully this dialogue, answered some questions for you that you may have had and you may have pondered on. And hopefully, you know, it's giving you like I said, a little bit more empowerment to take control of your relationship. If you are in a relationship and you want to remain, if you want to be celibate, if you want sexual purity, it's not too late. Just because you started it does not mean that you
have to continue.
And, you know, don't be so caught up on what he might think or what she might think. Just think about what God might say. And I wanted to give this scripture that says, put to death the misdeeds of the body. And that comes from Romans 8. I don't have the scripture, but it is chapter 8 in Romans. But I was hoping that Tatiana could share with us some ways to remain celibate. But anyway, thank you so much again. I see that you're on the line, but we just can't hear you right now. So you have a blessed day. Audience, you have a blessed day. And Tatiana, we will get back in touch with you soon. Everybody, be safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.